Om Agyan Timirandasya Ganangina Shalakaya Chaksur Minitam Janatasmai Sigurdave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Janabhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadanti Svabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare So again, the earthquake has rumbled, and we're going to have a little aftershock, a little tremble.
If what I spoke was an earthquake, then your speaking will be a pralaya.
His Holiness Radhanath Swami has, again, in speaking very eloquently on the pastimes and the teachings of our great acharyas, several of our great acharyas, whom we are very blessed on this pilgrimage to Bangladesh to visit their holy places of their appearance and their pastimes. I was thinking today that this is a, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mercy which comes of its own accord. Although I desired for many years to come to Keturi and see the Lilashtan of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, I never imagined how I would ever have the good fortune to do that or how it would take place. But these type of things happen by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Maharaj was reminding me today that yesterday we met in Washington, D.C., and somehow we both learned that we were very attracted to the personality of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, and we made a transcendental plan to come here, and then all of you also accompanied like this. So it's been one of the most memorable experiences in my devotional career, I can say with all sincerity. Every day in Krishna consciousness is always a great adventure. But this has certainly been one of the most memorable experiences for me, to go to the holy places in the association of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. We quoted one verse this morning by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the two final lines of which were, Asadham Bhagavan Nama Srimad Vaishnava Shevanam. And we mentioned in class that if we just can gain these two things, then our life can become successful. And that is to be able to chant Hare Krishna, names of the Lord, and to have, as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, menial service to the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. So here in our trip to Bangladesh, we have the association of many exalted Vaishnavas. And we've been very happy chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And although there have definitely been some austerities there, they're insignificant compared to the mercy that we're getting. And at least for myself, some glimpse, some very small, meager realizations by listening to Maharaj. Specifically, into the lives of these great devotees whose feet are our worshipable objects. So this evening we are here, somehow or other, at the appearance site and the Bhajan Kutirs of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Mukunda Dat, Vasudev Dat. Something very special about this place was just to come around the corner and see this beautiful Bhajan Kutir. Because generally, so many centuries have passed when we go to the holy places, it's very rare to see the antiquity as we see it present before us here today. Sometimes temples are still existing, deities are there, but to generally we don't see the actual Bhajan Kutir of that devotee. We'll come to a particular place and it was here by this kund and there'll be some modern structure. But this was overwhelming to come and see the beauty of the original Bhajan Kutir of Vasudeva Datta. And I can understand why Mahavishnu Goswami went inside there and chanted 16 rounds and then came out to somehow imbibe the great compassion of this great devotee of the Lord who Maharaj described was acts an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. This compassion, which was so beautifully described of Vasudev Dad, in which he was willing to accept the karma of all the fallen conditioned souls in this universe, which means from Brahmalok down to Patalok, the whole spectrum of the material, this particular universe, to accept the karma of so many sinful living entities and to suffer that karma, and thereby allow those personalities, those living entities, to go back to Godhead. This is something that's very difficult for us to actually grasp. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in speaking about compassion, he has a very beautiful verse in one of his songs in which he says he's begging for that compassion. We speak about compassion, especially because this is a missionary movement, and compassion is one of the essential ingredients in Vaishnava's life, as Maharaj was saying, to that the our happiness is to see others getting the opportunity for Krishna consciousness, and our sadness is to see them bereft of Krishna consciousness. But to have genuine compassion, genuine Vaishnava compassion, is actually a very exalted characteristic, a trait. It's something that we actually have to pray for, so that we can serve the mission of our Guru Maharaj, so that we can fulfill the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that we want to develop this compassion so that we will be recognized as a very advanced devotee, but we want that compassion so that we can genuinely affect the lives of the fallen conditioned soul, so that we can please Guru Maharaj, please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that these people can actually be delivered. And we know that it's an exalted quality because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying for it. Of course, such devotees are nitya siddhas, they're eternally liberated souls. They embody all the good qualities of a devotee. Titikshava kurnika shuridam sarvadehinam ajata shatava shanta shadava shudabhushana. Sadava shudabhushana means that these devotees, such of the caliber of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're, as the verse says in Bhagavatam, decorated with all good qualities. The Lord decorates his devotee with good qualities so that the common man can see, recognize him, and take shelter of him. He bestows, Krishna's Prabhupada says in the Krishna book. The Lord is always ready to bestow all of his opulences upon his pure devotee, so that devotee can represent him within the material world. All of his opulences. He's Bhagavan. He owns six opulence, main opulence. He's willing to give all those to his devotee, so his devotee can represent his mission in this material creation. Therefore, sometimes, in rare instances, devotees are called Bhagavan also. Very rare. We might think, oh, this is offense to call someone Bhagavan. Generally, that is it. But there are instances where a devotee is so dear to the Lord gives that devotee all mercy so that devotee can represent him in the material world. So if you study Shastra carefully, you'll come across verses where it says Bhagavan Narada. There are shlokas like that. Bhagavan Narada. Does this mean Narada has become Bhagavan? No. But he's as good as Bhagavan because he's been blessed by Bhagavan to do the work of Bhagavan. So Shtadavasuda Bhushana, just like sometimes in a military campaign, someone may excel above and beyond the call of duty. And the military, the government will give that person a medal to wear on the chest. So that the common man knows this person sacrificed for his country. He should be respected. He sacrificed for his country. In Russia, they have a very interesting tradition that throughout the country, I saw it happen in Moscow, that whenever and wherever a boy and girl get married, after the marriage ceremony, they go to the place in the city where the soldiers, there's a monument honoring the soldiers of World War II. Because you know so many men and women died defending their country in Russia. Millions. So they always have a monument, lest we forget, or something like that. So to remember the sacrifice of the soldiers who died on behalf of their country, every married couple, it's a law, actually. You must go to that monument, and you must thank those soldiers for giving their lives so that you can be married and be happy in the motherland. Quote, unquote, happy. But I thought, I took from that something. I took from that something. I actually thought it was from a question of social etiquette. It is good to remember that others have sacrificed for our present wealth. How does that compare to the great devotees who come from the spiritual world? Gorgo Vindamaraj describes two types of souls who come from the spiritual world. Those who come of their own compassion and those who come personally on the request of the Lord, like Prabhupada. Krishna personally requested him to come. What a sacrifice it is to leave Goloka Vrindavan and come to this. Prabhupada said, I did not want to come to this nasty place. But Krishna ordered me, you come and I will arrange everything. Such a sacrifice. So because that sacrifice is there, because Prabhupada told me personally, we came back from Harinam Sankirtan and Prabhupada said, so Indrajumna, how was the Sankirtan today? And I said, a little difficult. Prabhupada looked over the table. When did I ever say that preaching is easy? So these great souls who come, Sadavasuda Bhushanha, they're decorated with all transcendental characteristics. Tatikshiva, Karunika, Shuridam, Sarvadehinam, Achata, Shatavashanta, Sadavasuda Bhushanha. So many glorious characteristics they have. The Lord blesses the devotee with this tolerance, mercifulness, friendliness towards every living entity, sees no one as enemy, and decorated with all wonderful qualities, because he wants the common man to follow in his footsteps. Whatever a great man does, the common man will follow suit, and whatever exemplary acts he does, the whole world will pursue. So devotees are real leaders because they're leading people from darkness to light, from illusion to truth, from the material world back to the spiritual world. They're the real leaders of society, not the mundane politicians, the academics, the movie stars, the athletes. They're leading us, as Jesus said, the blind leading the blind, all falling in a ditch. One can only be a leader if he knows that the goal is back home, back to Godhead. He's a real leader. So the Lord wants these devotees to be recognized, so he decorates them with all these wonderful qualities. One of which, in which we are speaking of today, in particular about the personality of Vasudeva, that is compassion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the mood of an aspiring devotee, a devotee of Gauranga, and devotees of Gauranga are different than all other classes of transcendentalists, because all other classes of transcendentalists, namely jnanis and yogis, they're only concerned with their own deliverance. They could care less about anybody else. the devotee's outstanding characteristic that he puts others' interests before his own interests. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in one of his songs, "When will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest? And with a humble heart," he actually says lowly heart, "with a lowly heart, I will go out to preach the divine command." He's praying for compassion. "When will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest? And with a lowly heart, I'll go out to preach Krishna consciousness." He's praying for compassion. Because compassion is an exalted characteristic. You cannot be compassionate upon somebody if you're envious of them. In other words, as long as you have material desires in your heart, you have lust, you have anger, you have greed, as long as these things are polluting your heart, then, in other words, when you want those things, when you see other living entities who are apparently enjoying in this world, you'll be envious of them. Envy is a very common quality in this world. If people share anything, they share envy. The nature of a materialistic person is that when he sees someone more advanced than himself, he's envious. When he sees someone on his same level, he wants to compete with that person to become greater than that person. And if he sees someone that's lower than himself, he wants to exploit that person. It's all I, me, and mine. Envy. Envious of those who are more advanced, envious of those who are competing with me for sense gratification, and even envious of those who have less than me. Whatever little they've got, I want it. So horrible material life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, materialistic life can be summarized. Elegance is truth spoken concisely. You put your head on my lap, and I cut your throat. This is materialistic life. Someone's more advanced, we're envious. Someone's the same level, we become competitive. Someone's less than us, he may only own a few pennies, but I want to exploit him to get even that insignificant wealth he has. But a Vaishnava, when he sees someone more advanced than him, he wants to wash his clothes, even in a dream. If someone is more advanced, then we don't want to be envious of that person. We're thankful. Oh my, it works, the process. I'm not qualified. It's not working on me because I'm so fallen, but it's working on, just see my God brothers. It works. There's hope for me too. And by associating with those devotees, I'll get a drop of their mercy and come closer to the goal. Not that we become envious. Oh. And if someone is on the same level as us, we want to embrace that person, hold that person's hand, and march forward on the path of Krishna consciousness. Friendship is so important in Krishna consciousness. If we don't find friendship in Krishna consciousness, we will have to find friendship outside of Krishna consciousness, and that's very dangerous. Everyone needs love, and love is, there are different types of loving relationships. We love our superiors, we love our equals, and we love those who are less than us. If someone is less advanced than us, then Prabhupada said the duty of a first-class man is to make a fifth-class man also a first-class man. That's the duty of a first-class, a brahmana. A brahmana, he should make a low-class man, a sudra, malecha, yavana, rakshasa, he should make that person a first-class man. I knew one, Rakshashini. Her grandmother was a cannibal in the South Seas. It was her great-great-grandmother was a cannibal. When the white man came to the South Seas, I forget what island it was, English sailors came. Her great-great-grandmother participated in a feast. They killed the captain of the boat, and all the soldiers actually, the Navy, and they cooked them up and ate them. And her great-great grandmother took part in the feast. She said the best part was the eyes. Sorry to be so explicit.
No, it's necessary.
So this girl joined. She was an islander. She joined our movement in Paris. She was many bad qualities. But through the process of Vaishnava Sangha and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
She became a very, very good devotee. Very good Sankirtan girl with a very pure heart. And she used to think, just see, she said, in my blood, I have cannibal in my blood. My great, she said, I am Rakshashini. I am a Rakshasha by nature. So the duty of a first-class man is not to take pride in his position and his learning and his fame, whatever. To utilize those tools and take the low-class people. Prabhupada, this is why the whole Vedic culture fell apart. Because the Brahmanas became proud of their position. Previously, days of yore, the Brahmins knew this. This was their duty. To take those less fortunate than them and make them into first-class men. Because they needed. And as soon as that quality of compassion was gone, they wanted to exploit others. They became competitive of those in the same, and they became envious of those more advanced. The whole Vedic culture. This whole Vedic culture is based on compassion. The whole Brahminical culture is based on compassion. Brahmanas are gods on earth. They're representing God. This is what it means to be a god on earth. They're representing the mercy of God and the mercy of the whole mission of the Lord when he comes in this material world is simply to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. And those who are representing him have the same purpose. And when that, the Brahmins lost that sense of compassion and they became greedy and lusty for material possessions, they wanted to exploit rather than give, the whole thing deteriorated. It's like when the head's chopped off, the whole body's finished. You can lose any part of your body, you may survive, but if you lose your head, kaput, you're finished. So when the Brahminical order lost their quality of as teachers of the absolute truth, with the desire to gradually elevate the people, Vedic culture began to deteriorate. So if we are envious of others' position in this world, if you know, these, because material desires are never satiated. As much as you try to satisfy your desires, it's just like pouring kerosene on a fire. It just increases the fire, doesn't decrease the fire. So a materialistic person is never satisfied, and when he sees others apparently enjoying it, he burns with envy. And if you're envious of another person, how you can be compassionate upon that person? If you're envious of him, oh, he's enjoying it. How you can be compassionate? It's two opposite sides of the spectrum. Two polar opposites, we say. Envy and compassion. So as long as there's even a trace, we were speaking the other day about material desires. If there's a little trace of material desire and subsequently envy of others, you really can't preach with effectiveness. That's why when Prabhupada came to the Western world, Maharaj was speaking of how Prabhupada left Vrindavan, he came to the Western world. He ignited a revolution in spiritual history in the Western world. I think 12 times it was quoted, he went around the world. What one devotee did, because the heart was completely pristine, pure. Being a pure devotee, Prabhupada is always with Krishna. Early on in the movement, when we acquired our property on Watsik Avenue, the big temple that is often described as the world headquarters. Now we say Mayapur is the world headquarters, but before we had our Indian projects, we considered Los Angeles Temple our world headquarters. And Prabhupada would base himself out of there. He established deity worship there. He inspired the devotees in book distribution. Many devotees were made there. It was, in essence, a real... All the plans were there. The vision was there. Watsika Avenue was the world headquarters. If you look on the old books, ISKCON Press, printed in Boston before printing in other parts of the world, you'll see world headquarters, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Los Angeles. It's a history. When we first acquired the temple, devotees were trying to design, because it was formerly a church, actually, a gospel church. So devotees were trying to figure out how to do it and so forth and so on. So one of the original ideas was that the deities were at one end, and then they didn't know where to, because it was such a long hall, didn't know whether to put Prabhupada's Vyasas on this side or this side, or at way down at this end here, way down at the end. Devotees felt it probably would be better if Prabhupada could be way down here. He could see the deities. But then one devotee said to Prabhupada, "You'll be so far away you can't see Radha and Krishna." Prabhupada became very angry. He said, "There's no question of any distance between me and Radha and Krishna. I'm always with Krishna. Do you understand? There's no question of distance. Some distance between myself and Radha and Krishna. I'm always with Krishna. There was never a time I ever forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna." So this is the heart of the pure devotee. He has no material interest, no material. Na danam, na janam, na sundarim, kapicham va jagadisha kamaye mama janmane janmane shuddha. Not the slightest taste. Just like sometimes you have camphor and you put the camphor there and then you take the camphor away. It's still present by some odor. Where's the camphor? There's no camphor. No, where's the camphor? There's no camphor. There is camphor. There isn't, look. But something. So when the seventh canto describes when Prahlad Maharaj, after Lord Srinagadev had killed his father, Hiranyakashipu, his body rolled down the steps. You see the classic painting. So angry, Srinagadev. So beautiful. Because that anger is an expression of love for his devotee. Materialistic people can't understand. How's he beautiful? He's so beautiful. Just gorgeous. Beautiful. Maharaj, this morning he said, "That shalagram's magnificent. Majestic," he said. Majestic? Some common men will say, "But what's majestic?" But this is the eye of the devotee. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Srinagadev, so beautiful, because he's Krishna. It's the anger of Krishna. That anger is the manifestation of his love for his devotee. Because if you really love someone, when they're offended, you become angry. And Prabhupada was at the Pando, I think it was in Delhi, that famous Pando in Delhi. Maybe it was the Pando where Maharaj met the devotees. One hippie, Prabhupada asked for questions. One hippie came up. Prabhupada invited him on the stage. He asked his question, and then he challenged Prabhupada and said, "I am God." I said, "What?" Hippie said, "I am God." "What? I am God. You're a dog." and then Prabhupada became very angry. In front of 55,000-60,000 people. "You are a rascal! You are a dog! You are..." Many people walked out. What kind of sadhu is this? He's becoming angry. They didn't understand the real quality of a sadhu. The real sadhu is one who's given up all this material nonsense and he loves Krishna. And if your beloved is offended, if you don't become angry, then we can understand you don't have genuine love. Because if you love someone, really love someone, take a very mundane example in the material world. If someone's walking with their girlfriend and somebody walks by and says, "Your girlfriend, she's got a nose like a gorilla. She got She's got, you know, ears like a pig. She's got hair like a baboon. And then the girl says, you're not going to do anything? You don't love me? That's a very gross example. So love is, anger can be employed in the service of the Lord. If the Vaishnav's offended, the Lord's offended, devotee can be angry like fire. Narasingadev's there. He's and after Hiranyakashipu has been killed, still Narasingadev is angry. Why is he angry? Acharyas have analyzed different reasons for his anger. One explanation is that the demigods, because of the material desires, they did not come forward to protect Prahlad Maharaj because they didn't have full faith in the Lord. Raki Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rakike. Devotee has full faith. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. But they didn't have full faith because they're materialistic bhaktas. They're more advanced than me, but for preaching purposes. So they didn't have the faith to protect that pure devotee of the Lord. The greatest devotee of the Lord, who was being killed by the, trying to be killed by the greatest of asuras. Prahlad addresses his father. Oh, best of the asuras. And Hiranyakashipu is very proud. Thank you. You best of the demons. Oh, thank you, thank you. So he's still roaring. Acharya is described. He's still roaring because all these demigods did not. So Brahma, he pushed Prahlad forward.
You go.
And as soon as Prahlad came before the Lord with the garland, his roaring stopped, and he was, you know how cats, they purr? Brrr, he was like. And Bhagavatam describes, he took his lotus hand and he put it on the head of Prahlad Maharaj and freed Prahlad, Bhagavatam says, freed Prahlad from any last tinge of any material quality taint there. How it is Prahlad could have, well, he didn't, but it's just to show that even at advanced stages, like for example in Bhava is preliminary to Prema. And in Bhava, when one chants the holy names of the Lord, tears do come from the eyes. Bharat Maharaj was crying in the forest when he chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But as we see, as we know the pastime, Bharat Maharaj, there was some camphor of some slight trace of material affection there. And as a result, he became attracted to a beautiful little fawn. They're so cute. We've been walking in the villages and you see the animals. The babies are so... Krishna makes little young ones always cute just so that we'll take care of them. Little children, little lambs, little ducks, little cows, little goats. We saw a baby goat. It was so cute. I had to take a photo. I wasted 7 photos on one goat. Fortunately, I can delete them from my camera. But he was so cute. So this deer who was drinking the water, the lion roared, and she jumped in fear into the water, and she miscarried. The fawn was born, and she drowned, and something. And he went, and he captured that deer and brought. And gradually, he gave up his shadan. He even gave up his chanting of the holy names. Prabhupada said, he quoted, I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he stated that the actual reason that Bharat Maharaj fell down is because he disobeyed the instructions of the spiritual master. He didn't take shelter in his guru in a time of weakness. He was guilty of the third offense to the holy name. But there was some camphor there. Something. So, ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha tabajana kriya anartha nivriti syat. Anartha means that which is required, is needed, or is wanted. And anartha, which is unwanted. when you go through the different stages of devotional service, ado, shraddha, you develop some faith in the association of devotees, ado, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha, you come in and live in the association of devotees, bhajana, kriya, you take up the process, the regulated process of devotional service. Very, very powerful. We should never underestimate the potency of these. It's so simple you might miss it. It's so simple, Krishna consciousness, that a person who's not careful, he may miss the opportunity. So simple, but it's not cheap. It's simple, but it's not cheap. You have to be very strict, diligent, eke kuru nandanas, fixed on the path of devotion. And then, those unwanted things will be cleansed from the heart. And then real bhakti begins. As long as we have some selfish interest, we can't really call our service to Krishna pure bhakti. It's bhakti because it's directed towards the Lord, but it's like 9-karat gold. Any woman, of course we're brahmacharis and sannyasis, but women are not satisfied with 9-karat gold. I've seen in the grihasthas. They want 22. You can't give them 24 because it'll too soft. So gold has a little alloy there. They put some, maybe a little copper in or something, and then they make it 22-karat gold. No wonder. So our hearts have to be 22-karat gold. All this slight camphor, this whatever there has, so that begins. That really starts beginning at Anartanivriti, when all the, it starts coming into 18, 22, like that. At these later stages, Nishtha, Ruchi, Bhava. So that's a very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. We're hoping in some distant life to come to that stage of Krishna consciousness. But that, these devotees like Vasudev Dat, Mukunda Dat, Pundarik Vidyaniti, all the great names we heard today, that's the type of hearts they have, pure hearts, pure devotion. No trace of any material desire, so therefore no envy, therefore real compassion. They can look at anyone in this world and actually feel compassion. They can see the greatest, they can see those who possess the so-called opulences of this world, and they can just look at that person and think, you fool, you poor fool. They can look at the devatas, you poor fools, you're still attached to them. They can look like that, and they can think like that. Just like Bibhamangal Thakur, when he attained the stage of pure devotion to Krishna, when he remembered his past activities in this world, particularly the main activity of this world, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is all devouring sinful enemy. Lust, which means sex, sex desire, attraction for beautiful women or handsome men. When I think how I used to enjoy, because he was attached to a prostitute who had the name Chintamani, when I think how I used to enjoy sex in this life, I spit at the thought. When we come to that stage where the mind sometimes comes in contact with these materialistic ideas and pleasures, and rather than contemplate it, we just instinctively, ah! Then we can know we're making some progress in Krishna consciousness. One who has that Parnandrishtan Divarantante, who has that higher taste, whose heart is pure, he's never intimidated by anyone in this world. One who possesses wealth, one who has an aristocratic birth, who's surrounded by beautiful women, who has fame, who has a very high materialistic education, has a very high position. The devotee is never intimidated by such a person. He can come before that person with confidence and say, "Sir, you need this holy name of Krishna. Please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama." Devotee has learned this through, the Shastra says there's different ways we learn, through Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. We can learn through traditional wisdom. We can even learn through our own experience to some degree about this nasty material world. And therefore, when we speak about this world with those realizations, we can convince our audience and we can encourage them in the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. So in developing this, as we were praying to have the mood of these great acharyas, we have to pray that they will please cleanse our hearts. Because alone, our hands are tied. We need their mercy to cleanse our hearts. Like we pray to Narasimha Bhagavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his mood in worshipping the Sringadev, because he had a deity of Lakshmi and Sringa, you've seen it in Mayapur. I think he's at Sri Vasangam, if I'm not mistaken. Beautiful deity of Lakshmi and Sringa. What was his mood in approaching Narasimha Bhagavan? In one of his prayers, one of his poems, he's envisioning himself at Nisringapali, that temple in Mayapur. He says, I'm wallowing in the dust at the threshold of the palace of Nisringa, praying to Nisringa, please purify my heart of all material contamination so my love for Radha and Krishna, Radha Madhava, can develop and I can serve them eternally in Goloka Vrindavan. Narasimha Bhagavan is very dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He tears out, just like he tore out the chest of Hiranyakashipu. He tore his heart out. But he didn't just tear his heart out. Along with his heart, he tore out his lust, he tore out his anger, he tore out his greed. Otherwise, how did he get liberated? You can't get liberated. He said he's already liberated, Pallad. 10,000 generations before and after have all been liberated because of your birth in this family. When he took the heart of Hiranyakashipu, he also took out his lust, his anger, and his greed. Otherwise, how he was liberated. So if we really want to serve Guru Maharaj, we want to serve Prabhupada. Prabhupada started a missionary movement in the same mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The charity begins at home. We are meant to give the real charity, not the charity of going out and opening hospitals and giving food to the hungry, except for prasadam, of course. Giving clothes to the needy, giving money to these mundane. That's not the type of charity that we are meant to give. We're meant to give the solution to all problems. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But if we want to do that in earnest and thereby give real pleasure to Prabhupada and give real pleasure to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and real pleasure to Radha Madhava, the charity begins at home. We have to cleanse our hearts. So part of the praying process is that when we're chanting, that holy name will act as the Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. This is what it means, Chaito Dharpana, to cleanse our hearts so that we'll become pure servants of the Lord, so that real compassion will manifest in our heart, so that we'll be valuable instruments in the mission of our acharyas, like Vasudev Datta Mukunda Das. Their desire is still as manifest now as it was 500 years ago. These personalities are still present. And that book which has recently come out, I think it's called Bhaktivinoda Vani, one personality asks Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when we pray to the acharyas, do they hear us? They have departed such a long time ago and they are in their transcendental service, their nitya lila pravishta, their servicenessness. Do they actually hear us? He said, oh yes. If the prayer is in the mood of pure bhakti, and it's chanted sincerely from the heart, they do hear, and they do reciprocate. They do reciprocate. So it's not that we're coming to some antiquated structure here, and speaking about the past. The desire of these charyas is as much manifest now as it was 500 years ago. It will be manifest throughout the 10,000 glorious years of Kali Yuga. So we want to be the valuable instruments. We don't want to be a blunt instrument. Like a doctor, before he operates on a patient, first the scalpel, there's a machine actually they use. Vroom, vroom. It becomes even more sharp than a razor. No doctor would dare go into the operation theater, they call it the theater, with a blunt instrument. He would make... So really, if we want to serve our spiritual master, we don't want to be a blunt instrument. We want to get rid of all these nasty desires which have been, you know, this extra baggage, we sometimes say. Like,
when you travel, you travel light. You don't want to take extra baggage. You're all travelers, so we all know we're brahmachari sannyasis. We're always traveling. We travel light. All of us have one little bag, I've seen, like that. One little bag. A charter or something. So if you're traveling, you travel light. So, but we've been carrying a lot of extra baggage for many lifetimes. It's weighing us down. All these material desires are weighing us down. We cannot really be effective in the service of our Guru Maharaj. If we let go of that baggage, and by their mercy they empower us.
Just like Prabhupada, one pure devotee spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So let us get rid of this extra baggage, these material desires, these selfish interests, and take up the interest of the acharyas. Prabhupada, we don't know who Prabhupada is in the spiritual world, and we don't think like that, really. We think of our Guru Maharaj eternally as, at least now, as our, in the Vapu that he appeared before us and the instructions that he gave us. What was Prabhupada's mission here in the material world? His mission was the same mission as the Lord. His whole lifetime, although to a common academic he may say Prabhupada went to school, Prabhupada was a grihastha, it was all lila. It was all a lifetime in preparation for that day that Prabhupada left the glorious Vrindavan Dham and came aboard the Jaladuta to come to the West. It was all, Satsava Maharaj very aptly entitled that first book, A Lifetime in Preparation. From the day Prabhupada appeared in this world, his mission was to come to the Western countries and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then he revealed one time, after the mission of my Guru Maharaj was accomplished, I had spread Krishna consciousness. I came back to India. It was my personal desire to come back to India and revive Bengal to the glorious culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told Bhavananda Prabhu. I did the service of my Guru Maharaj, but I came back to India because I wanted to revive, because you know that India, just as America is the leader of sense gratification, India is forever the motherland of religion. Historically, but they won't accept, but you can trace back all the major religions to glorious India. They won't admit it, but it's true. India is meant to be like that. Bharat means that. Bharatvarsh means the land of light, not that it's a tropical country. The land of transcendental knowledge. India is meant to guide the entire world back home, back to Godhead, back to Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore, Prabhupada came back to revive the culture here, so people can come and learn this glorious culture of Krishna consciousness. So whether it's east or west, north or south, whatever, Prabhupada, his whole heart and soul was preaching Krishna consciousness. And he was affected because he was a pure devotee. Pure devotee means no material desires, but a heart which is beating to serve the Lord. When Prabhupada was walking on the beach, Stinson Beach, the waves were crashing. Prabhupada said, what is that sound? What is that? Oh, Prabhupada, that's the sound of the waves crashing on the sand. Prabhupada said, no. That's the sound of the gopis' heartbeats when they feel separation from Krishna. That's transformed in this world when these great devotees, who are all eternal associates, manjaris, cowherd boys, when they all come, that love for the Lord is transformed. As the Lord manifests his love in this world, to deliver all the fallen souls rotting in material existence. We are so privileged that we can just assist them in that mission. We can never take credit for anything we have done. Who are we? We've just come out of the muck of material existence 2 seconds ago on cosmic time. What are we capable of doing? But somehow or other, we have the great privilege of assisting Vasudev Dutt, Mukunda Dutt, Pundarik Vidyaniri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his great mission. As Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur said, go and preach. He said, because that preaching will do good for you, and it will do good for others as well. Everyone gets benefited when the holy name is chanted. The chanter and the hearers, they all. We had kirtan one time in Paris when we came back, and again Prabhupada asked me, how was the kirtan? I said, you know, Prabhupada, one lady, she stood in front of the kirtan party with her fingers in her ears. He said, what did you do? Nothing. He said, you should have pulled her fingers out. And you should have shouted in her ears, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is the mood of our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Ananda Bhuti Bhadavanam, as long as the preaching is going on. And there are varieties of ways to preach. We know so many. Everything is blissful. Once the preaching stops, everything dries up. So the duty of the leaders of our society is to ensure that somehow or other, besides maintaining our status quo in Krishna consciousness, we have to make sure that our members are going out, congregation, devotees, even friends of Krishna, to go out and spread the glories of the holy name. And we have the means to do it, although it's very difficult to convince these people who are all Bahir Mukha, have turned their faces from God. We can do it. It's possible, because Prabhupada told us, Detroit, he said, along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to execute it. So this impossible task of turning people's faces back to Krishna, we can do it if we take shelter of devotees like Vasudev Dutt, who are the embodiment of that compassion. We were speaking of shelter the other day. Although we're very weak and insignificant and very tiny, if we take shelter of the strong, then we can do our service. It's very difficult to fly all the way to London. But if you just walk up the steps of a 747, you sit down, it's very easy. It takes you to London. If you try to fly to London yourself, you'll sit here till the blue moon comes. But if you go on the airplane and you sit down, then boom, you're there. It's an open secret. So to preach, really to be an effective preacher, you have to know how to take shelter. Take shelter in the instructions of the spiritual master. Take shelter in the holy name. Take shelter in the previous acharyas. Take shelter in Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But come before them with a clean heart. Don't come with some extra baggage to make their life difficult. Come with a clean heart and pray to be part of that glorious Sankirtan mission, because that's the real glory. Our glory is not to become master, our glory is to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That's the most glorious state that Jivatma can attain, and he'll be perfectly happy, as we quoted this morning, Yayatma Shrupa Siddhi, doing that duty. So we're very privileged. It's a very historic time in the world. Very historic time. For 450 years, the Sankirtan movement was somewhat dormant, like Saraswati, underground. It was not manifest. Now it's manifest. Somehow we all took our birth in this time. We're either disciples or grand disciples or grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and we are so privileged. There's nothing more valuable than this opportunity to assist these great acharyas in their Sankirtan mission. We're helping them. We're assisting them. It's glorious. It's such a privilege. It's our most precious commodity is our seva to their Sankirtan mission. So let us, as Maharaj is always so wonderfully concludes his classes, let us pray that our hearts will become purified and we can become valuable instruments in the hands of our Guru Maharaj and our predecessor acharyas, and we can utilize our lives for what they can be best used for, serving the missionary activities of of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that in assisting them, we will actually see many miracles in our lifetime. Miracle means something that contradicts the laws of material nature. To deliver a conditioned soul from this world is contradicting the laws of nature, because by the law of nature, they are destined to take birth after birth after birth after birth after birth. But when a devotee intervenes on behalf of the Lord, their history is changed. It's wonderful. It's so wonderful to be able to see those miracles every day. Little small miracles, when someone takes a book or listens to the chanting or comes to the temple or befriends a devotee. To see these things, recognize them, and appreciate them, that we're so fortunate to be part of this Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, which is as active now as it was 500 years ago. And let us pray. Mama Janmani, Janmani Ishwara, Bhavatat Bhakti Aitakita. That we can participate in the Sankirtan movement, birth after birth after birth after birth. Because Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his Sankirtan movement is also in Golok. There's a part of Golok where the chanting is going on. The devotees are singing, Hari Haraya Namah, Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. They're chanting and dancing like that. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says there's a special sweetness in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement when it comes down to the material world. Because there's the background of darkness, of ignorance. And the beautiful jewel of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is most appreciated with that dark background. Just like you take a jewel, if you want to sell a jewel, you don't put it on a clear piece of plastic. You put on dark velvet, blue, dark green, dark gray. Then you can see the jewel. So the jewel-like pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his chanting and dancing, it's most appreciated here because the effect is all these conditioned souls are going back home, back to Godhead. So this is a special treat that we have. Let us take full advantage and fall in the dust of this beautiful antique bhajan kutir of Vasudev Dai and beg for his mercy that we can go from this place and develop one tiny drop of the same compassion that he had for the fallen conditioned souls and give him great pleasure. He's in a position to bless us, the transcendental abode. Let us give him great pleasure by going back to our respective services and continue the same mission that he appeared in this world for. Shri Mukundadat Vasudev Dhat Ki, Kundarik Vidyaniri Ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki, Lord Nityananda Ki, Shri Lapavupada Ki, Golok Premdan Harinam Sen Kirtan Yagya Ki, Shri Nam Prabhu Ki, His Holiness Varanas Swami Maharaj Ki, Gopimandi. Jai.